Well, we're gonna get in the Word today, and I'm going to conclude the lesson on generosity. It's been a blessing to you.
Amen.
Been a blessing to you. Hold your Bible up and say this with me. The Word of God,
the word of God is
the answer.
Yes.
And
I just be.
I just be worship.
I just be worship.
My life is worship to God.
I just be the word.
My life is the word made flesh.
I just be a witness.
My life is a witness.
A platform
for others
to come to God.
I just be.
Amen.
Open your Bibles up, please, to Proverbs chapter 11. And I want to conclude probably one of the most important series that I've ever taught. It's important because of the time that we're in. This is an important series because all of the world, people are experiencing what the world calls a recession. And the world has all kinds of plans, stimulus plans and governmental plans and everything to try to bring back some degree of prosperity and order. But God also has a plan. And his plan is unaffected by what's happening in our economy or in our environment.
Amen.
Generosity is God's plan for man's abundance.
Amen.
I believe it's an important series because also not just what is happening presently in the economy, I believe that this is an important series because I believe that we're living in the last of the last days. And there's some things that God has to get done through his church and through his people, and we have to be channels of his blessing. Amen. So let's look at our background scripture for one last time in this series, verse 24 and 25, Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich." Say, "the generous soul."
The generous soul.
"The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself." Generosity, God's plan for man's abundance. We've discussed this theme for 8 weeks. This is the 9th week, and in this 9th week, I am going to review or summarize all the things that we've learned in this series. So you're going to have an opportunity to have in one setting the key things that we've talked about over the last 8 weeks. We define generosity by giving you several definitions to show you the multifaceted nature of generosity. And we said that generosity is being liberal in giving or sharing. It's being big-hearted or big-heartedness. Generosity is giving characterized by abundance and extravagance. It's unsparingly and unselfishly excessive. Generosity is giving more than expected, whether it be better quality or larger quantity. Generosity means to be easily and willingly going the extra mile. Generosity is easily and willingly exceeding what is required. Generosity is above and beyond giving. Now, generosity is not just giving, because it is possible to give and even be a tither and not be a generous person. Generosity, the first major point that we made in this study, is that generosity is God's nature. The scripture says that God is love. So love's nature is to give generously. In Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 7, we have a manifestation of God's generosity. We see in this particular text what happens when man understands God, when man receives him, obeys him, and yields to him. We see how God will manifest his generous nature. In Luke chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a draught. Peter responded, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, according to your system, I let down the net, singular. And when he had this done, the Bible says that he enclosed a great catch, a great multitude of fish, so that his net broke. He beckoned to his partners who were in another ship and said, come over here and help us. And the Bible says they came. And they filled both ships to the point that both ships began to sink. That's what happens when we understand God. That's what happens when we receive him, when we obey him, when we yield to him. He manifests his generous nature. We talked about God's plan for man in the beginning. God created man in his image to be a recipient of his blessings so that man could be a conduit, a transmitter, or a distributor of his generous nature to others. God created man with an abundance mentality. Say that. God created man with an abundance mentality, not a need mentality. Said not a need mentality. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, we have outlined for us two mentalities. We have an abundance mentality in verse 16, and we have a need mentality in verse 17. Verse 16, God says, of every tree, speaking to Adam, of every tree you may freely eat. Every tree, that's an abundance mentality. Verse 17 says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from that tree, because the day you eat from that tree, you're going to die. Verse 17 represents a need mentality. In Genesis 2, 16, we have an abundance mentality that focuses on God's generosity. And it leads to God dependency. When we focus on God's generosity, we will end up being God dependent. Verse 17, Genesis 2:17, represents a need mentality. A need mentality always focuses on what you don't have. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from that tree. So Adam said, I don't have that. Eve said, I don't have that. A need mentality always focuses on what we don't have and ignore all the trees we do have. A need mentality focuses on what you don't have, and it leads to self-dependency. So we talked about the impact of the fall. What really happened in the fall of man? It was tragic. The fall of man was devastating because Satan got man to shift his focus from an abundance mentality to a need mentality, and man became self-dependent rather than God-dependent. But the most tragic thing that happened in the fall of man is that Satan took on, man took on Satan's nature. Man took on Satan's nature of fear and selfishness and greed and hoarding and stinginess and pride. In Luke chapter 5, we saw what happens when a person understands God, welcomes God, receive from him, obey and yield to him, God is able to manifest his generous nature. In Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 16 through 21, we see a fallen man, a man who yields to a satanic nature, and we see a graphic illustration of how that man lives his life when the nature of Satan is manifested through that man. Jesus said the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought with himself, I have no room where to bestow my goods, so this is what I'll do. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build larger ones. And there I'll store all my goods. Then I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take it easy. Relax. And then God interrupted him and called him a fool. And said, fool, this night your soul shall be required. Then who shall those goods be that you've laid up? In this graphic illustration of a man who submits to the nature of Satan, who yields to a need mentality, this man said, I six times. He said, my five times. This man who manifests the nature of Satan identified, achieved or obtained his identity from things. He received his fulfillment from things. He was secure in things, and God called him a fool. He was a fool because first he forgot the giver. He forgot that everything that he had came from God. Secondly, he was a fool because he forgot others. And thirdly, he was a fool because he forgot and really did not get the point of life and the point of abundance. Abundance is not just for us to squander on our lusts. But then we went to the impact of redemption. Thank God there's some good news. In redemption, God removes, we had several people who made Jesus the Lord of their lives today. In redemption, God removes Satan's nature from the newly saved, and the believer takes on the nature of God. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what kind of creature? He's a new creature. Come on, say, I'm a new creature. So you have a new nature. You don't have that old satanic nature anymore, that old selfish, fearful, hoarding, greedy, self-centered nature anymore. You have the nature of God on the inside of you. The new birth restores to the believer God's plan of generosity, and it restores to the believer man's capacity to fulfill it. See, you have the capacity, all of you that are saved, all of you that are born again, you have the capacity to manifest God's nature in the earth now. There is no excuse for you being stingy and fearful and hoarding and greedy. There is no excuse because you have the nature of God on the inside of you. But we must now yield to God's nature and not that old satanic nature. And we talked about a wealth transfer. For the day will come when God is going to transfer and get his wealth into the hands of his generous people, but he's not going to take wealth out of one hole and put it in another hole. We've learned that God's plan of generosity guarantees abundance. Proverbs 11:25 says, the generous soul will be made rich. No doubt about it, will be made rich. We talked about the scope of generosity. Isaiah 32:20 says that we're to sow seeds beside all waters. All waters. We're to be generous in our homes, generous toward our spouses, generous toward our children, generous toward our siblings, generous toward our parents. We're to be generous in the church, generous at work, generous at school, generous with friends, generous with strangers. We're to be generous in all the arenas of life. And we discovered that it is possible for all of us. Come on, say all of us. It is possible for all of us to be generous, to have a generous life. We discovered this in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. The Bible says that Jesus was sitting in the church one day, and he decided to go over and sit by the treasury where folk were putting their offerings in. And can you imagine Jesus sitting over at the offering table, watching the folk giving? Can you imagine what they would have said about him in our day? But he was watching the folk giving, and he noticed that the rich were giving in abundance, and then a little old widow came over, and he noticed. He sat up and looked, and she noticed she put in just two mites. Then he called his disciples, come here, boys, come here, come here, come here, boys. You need to see this. And then he explained the lesson to them. He said, all these other folk, they gave, and they gave much according to the world system. It appears that they gave a whole lot. But this woman, this widow woman who gave those two pennies, she gave more than they all. Because they gave out of their abundance, but she gave out of her need, out of her poverty. And Jesus declared that she gave more than them all. So if she could be generous and only had two mites, what is our excuse? So it is possible to be a generous person and not have much. Generosity is not about what you don't have, it's about what you do have. However, it is impossible to be a generous person and remain in a state of not having much. I say it's possible to be a generous person and not have much, because generosity doesn't have to do with what you don't have, it has to do with what you do have. However, it is impossible to be a generous person according to our different definitions and remain in a state of not having much. Generosity is proof of our love and our faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Apostle Paul challenged the church at Corinth by illustrating what the churches at Macedonia had. And he said to the churches at Corinth, prove the sincerity of your love. You know, it's one thing to say, I love the Lord, he heard my cry. It's one thing to say, God has been good to me. But it's another thing to answer the question, how good have you been to God? You know, yeah, everybody can say God's been good. It's like the man and woman who stands up at the altar, and the preacher said, do you take this woman? Do you take this man to be your husband, to be your wife? And both say, I do. It's one thing to give a verbal affirmation. It's another thing to demonstrate the genuineness. How many of you are saved? Now prove it. Prove this sincerity. How many believe this gospel? Prove it. See, all I've shared with you is the gospel. I didn't make up anything. I've taken you from scripture to scripture. You say you believe the gospel, prove it. You can't be stingy and believe the gospel. You can't hoard and believe the gospel. You can't be greedy. You can't ignore folk and believe the gospel. Are you sure you say, maybe I need to give another invitation? See, it's our generosity that proves the sincerity of our love for God, our love for the word, our love for the gospel, our faith in the gospel. Amen. Greed and stinginess reveals a shallow commitment. We discovered that there are four results of generosity. What are they? Generosity, number one, enriches us. Come on, say, enriches us. Come on, say, it enriches us. Generosity, second, meet the needs of others. Wave at the others. Wave at the others. Come on, generosity, bless other folk. Come on, come on. We bless other folk. See, we're going to bless other folk. It's going to enrich us, but it's going to bless other folk. Then thirdly, generosity inspires gratitude. Come on, do this. Come on, let's clap our hands. Come on. See, when we're generous, it causes other folk to be grateful. And then fourthly, generosity glorifies God. Lift one hand toward heaven. Every time you operate in generosity, every act of generosity, you're glorifying God. I mean, even we sing songs and we say, I was giving glory to God. We pray prayers. I was giving glory to God. But every time the Spirit of God put it on your hearts out there outside of the church, regardless of where, the Spirit of God gives you that witness. You're glorifying God. You don't hear any music. You're not going to hear any music. You're not going to have any feelings. I mean, just emotions running down. You're not going to just want to dance and run. No, no, no. But every time the Spirit of God moves on you, I had a lady come up to me. And I could tell the message taking hold in y'all. I could tell it's taking hold. We had some, we're having some wonderful testimony. I'm so proud of you. I'm just so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Oh, I'm just so proud of you. You're running with it. You're running with it. You're running with it. This sister in our church, she cleaned houses. I don't know whether it's her business or what, but she cleaned houses. And she was sharing with me how she's been generous to people. She's been cleaning some houses and not charging the people. I said, she's been cleaning the house for people. And see, that's not church. That's not an offering plate being passed. No, that's out in the community. But God put on her heart to clean some folk house. Listen, that's just as important to God if the Spirit of God told you as you putting money in the offering plate when it passed. Because see, it's the same Holy Spirit that speaks to you to give into the offering that speaks to you to give, clean the houses. See, it's the same God. And even though we don't have any church music out in the community, out in the world, God is up there saying, yes, yes, thank you for doing that for me. Thank you for cleaning the houses for me. See, a lot of time we think we're doing it for the person, but God is saying, thank you so much for cleaning my house. You say, I'll give you a proof text. You said, well, give me a proof text that God. Yeah. Well, remember when Saul was persecuting those Christians and God confronted him on the Damascus Road? Saul, why are you persecuting them? Okay, I'm going to say it again. Saul, why are you persecuting them?
Me.
That's not what he said.
No,
he said, Saul, why you persecute me?
That's good. That's good, Pastor.
God takes it personal.
That's the
negative side. But on the other side, when you do something good, God takes it personal. God said, if you do it to the least of these, my brethren, if you do it to the least, he's talking about going to the prison, going to the jail. He's talking about helping those that are down. He said, if you do it to the least of these, he said, you're doing it to me. Get your eyes off folk. And put your eyes on God. Every time you act in generosity, you're glorifying God. We discover that generosity has never hurt anyone. No one has ever followed God's plan and been hurt. 2 Corinthians 8:13, God says, now I don't want others to be eased and you burdened. And then in our last lesson, last week, we talked about three keys that unlock God's plan of generosity. Number one, generosity is a lifestyle. My wife talked about that. We looked at a woman named Tabitha in Acts chapter 9. Generosity must be a lifestyle, not an event. Can't be just a motivated moment of generosity. Second key to unlock God's plan is prayer. We looked at Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Prayer is the key to revelation giving rather than reason giving. Reason giving is when I'm trying to figure out what and how and when and where to give. But revelation giving is when I'm listening to God tell me what to do. Prayer plus generosity also open our eyes to see divine connections. There are some people that God has connected you to. And then finally, obedience. We looked at Abraham in Genesis 22, and we talked about the different phases that we often go through when we're attempting to be obedient, the hearing phase, the excitement phase, the fear phase, the logic phase, the doubt phase, and the faith phase. I think it was a good lesson. Amen. Oh, I think this was an outstanding series. Amen. It's changed my life.
Amen.
Oh, it's changed my life. I believe it's changed yours. Amen. There is a prayer. You're a generous person, aren't you?
Amen.
How many generous people here?
Yes.
Come on, make this confession. I am
who God says I am.
And God says
that I'm a partaker
of his nature.
God's nature
is generosity.
Therefore,
I have
the nature
of generosity.
I'm a generous person.
I'm a generous person.
I'm a generous person.
God's nature
is manifested
in my life
every day.
Every day.
I'm listening
to the Spirit
for opportunities.
To be generous.
Now listen
at this. We're going to pray a prayer every day.
You remember what that prayer is?
Do you remember what that prayer is?
Do you remember what that prayer is?
Every day.
How often are we going to pray it?
Every
day. How many days?
Every day.
How many days?
Every day.
How many days?
Every day.
What are we going to say?
Lord,
open my eyes.
Help me to see
opportunities
to be generous
today.
Come on, one more time.
Lord,
open my eyes.
Help me to see
opportunities
to be generous
today.
One more time.
Lord,
open my eyes.
Help
me to see
opportunities
to be generous today.